Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get shungite to the masses. You are entering the shungite zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Haggie Shack Radio. Welcome, everybody, to the Shungite Show. It's November 13th, 2018. My name is Nancy Hopkins. And just a program note, the show you were listening to before I so rudely interrupted you will be played at 4 o'clock this afternoon, 4 to 5. And then we're going to do Cosmic Reality Radio Show at 6. It's 5 to 6. And we're going to do it 6 so that we can discuss that. So anybody that was interested in it and I had to, you know, change station, you can hear it at 5 today, same place, okay? All right, today Derek is not here right now because what happened was, you're going to love this story. What happened was I was working on the audio player. And I'm telling you, I didn't slip. My hand didn't slip. It was like I got slapped. And I was about to move a tape up towards the top of the list, right? The playlist. And all of a sudden, my hand just went whoosh. And I was on a default player list. The player had stopped playing whatever it was playing. I'm like, what the heck just happened? Right? So I find the show that was playing. I guess where it was because I hadn't been listening to it. So I guess where it is. I plunk it in and then I go over to the website and I'm listening to make sure everything's okay. And it was a Say What show with Dolly Howard. And I was talking about the sixth extinction. And to be honest, it was a pretty good presentation of it. And I decided today that I would introduce what we're going to introduce to you later in the show by telling you about the sixth extinction event. Why is it that everything is so very critical, time-wise? Now, there's a terrible problem. We're going to hear about it. There is a solution. But we're running out of time. So I'm going to ask you to listen to this tape. It's like myself talking with Dolly Howard. And it came from June. It was June this year. And then Derek's going to join me, and we're going to introduce another phase of getting shungite to the masses and saving the bees. So right now, here we go. Thank you. I'll see you when we get back. And we are back. You're looking. You're hearing the Say What radio show on Cosmic Reality Radio, simulcast by Haggie Shack Radio. It is June 30th, 2018. My name's Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard. And Dolly, I'm hoping you're back. Yes? Well, wait a minute. I've got you muted. Dolly, you there?
Yes.
Awesome. Okie dokie, so we had an interesting first hour.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do for the second hour?
Oh, I had a thought that went in my mind I wanted to ask you about, and of course it left. Oh, what was it?
Was it about shungite? Was it about reality, the Republic, spacecraft, voodoo stuff? Nothing, huh?
I get nothing back in my head. I hate it when that happens to me. If I remember it, I'll blurt it out. Oh, jeez. Angels, help me remember that.
Well, you know, I was supposed to do this, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, the insect life is dying very rapidly. When we talk about the bees, I honestly did not give any thought to anybody but the bees. And in fact, the entire insect life is 75% gone.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Why?
Well, good question. I mean, because I went and I did some research on it. And the consensus is that, well, it's global warming.
Oh, and, you know, I'm tired of that answer.
I know. And then it's the pest. It's the same things that they say about the bees. What's killing the bees, they're saying is that's what's killing the insects. And my attitude is it all starts with the Wi-Fi. And I think they said that this has been going on for 20, let me see if I can pull up that, okay, yeah. Insect abundance has fallen by 75% over the last 27 years. So if you go back, you'll see that the high peak, okay, was in 1989, and that there was a severe drop between 1989 and 1994. Then there was a rise and then a drop and a rise and a drop. I'm pretty sure that if I look and I check the history of Wi-Fi proliferation, it's the same thing that happened with the bees. That's why I was so sure it was Wi-Fi, because I could track the hits on the bees with the installment of the next generation of Wi-Fis. And this has got the same thing. It's like they get hit really bad, and then they struggle back, and they're doing okay. Then they get hit again, you know. And so when I see this pattern of being able to come back, I'm going, it's something different than climate. Climate's not jumping around like that. But I can prove a correlation between the change in the Wi-Fis. So I think it's the Wi-Fi that starts the whole thing. They're all involved in it. But that means if it is true, then the shungite can also turn this around. Now, when I first heard about this information, it struck me as being like, A, why didn't I know about this before, like we're talking, that sometimes they keep stuff away from you? Because the focus was on the bees. They didn't need me to know how bad it really was. And then when I find out how bad it is, it's like we're already into the bee experience, and we know that we're turning the bee situation around unbelievably. So if we can do it for the bees, we could probably do it for the insects too. We have a way of stopping this. But as I was studying it, I got this, boom, 4 years. Boom, 4 years. If we don't do something right now, in 4 years, it'll completely collapse.
What will?
The world. The biological
world. Okay.
Yeah, let me just look this thing up here. There was...
See, I don't believe the world's going to collapse.
I don't either, but I mean, because I know we have an answer for it. But people have to understand where we are and get a little bit paranoid.
You want us to make people paranoid?
Yeah, so they'll get moving.
Oh, I see.
If they don't change the way that they're thinking, it's all thinking. They have to change the way they're thinking. If they don't think it, if you guys don't think about shungite and saving the bees and getting involved in the story we're telling, okay, you're done. You're toast. First off, if you're not listening to us, I don't know why you'd be listening to me now, but the 5G. But on top of the 5G, once the 5G goes out, all of biological life is going to start to deteriorate very quickly. You're in a Wi-Fi environment. It's like being in a Wi-Fi, a microwave oven. It's like incredibly stupid, so dangerous. I mean, it's like, you know, telling a little boy, yeah, why don't you put your finger in the socket in the wall and see what happens? Because you know what's going to happen. There's no way around it. You do it, you do it. But the insect thing, everybody's like, save the whales. Save the bear. You got to save the insects. You got to save the worms. You got to save all of biological life. You cannot let any one thing go. Because if you do, it's like, you know.
Well, God made them. Why would he make them for them to just disappear? They have a purpose. And
well, let me
people
just,
don't pay attention because they're so little.
Right. Let me just read you this one statement, okay? And it's talking about all the stuff that doesn't have a spine, you know, which is most everything. And it's just that lower life that we never think about, insects included. And he's saying, they helped call the universe of flowering plants into being. They are to terrestrial food chains what plankton is to oceanic ones. Without insects and other land-based anthropods, his name is E.O. Wilson, the renowned Harvard entomologist and inventor of sociobiology, estimates that humanity would last all of a few months. After that, most of the amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals would go, along with the flowering plants. The planet would become an immense compost heap, covered in shoals of carcasses and dead trees that refused to rot. Briefly, fungi would bloom in untold numbers. Then they, too, would die off. The Earth would revert to what it was like in the period 440 million years ago, when life was just beginning to colonize the soil, a spongy, silent place filled with mosses and liverworts, waiting for the first shrimp brave enough to try its luck on land. Pretty graphic discussion of what will happen if we lose them. And we're losing them. And that's why I'm telling people, look at... We have to understand that we can turn it all around, but we have to do it now. We can't wait. We gotta get our heads in it. And I'm not asking you to reach in your pocket or go out and march in the streets. I'm asking you to get in your own head and say, we can turn this around. And to put your energy into seeing what's happening, say, no, not in my reality. And put energy of love and care into a new reality where we can stop this stuff. But we need a story. We need a story. And the story I'm giving you is we can do it with shungite. Three nuggets on a hive of sick bees. Three hives like that. The shungite hive from last year, in the middle of them. The shungite hive never got the mites, never got the disease. These brand new bees from California, sent to Derek and Nooks, were so sick and tight tick infested, mite infested, that there was no way that even spraying them with chemicals would stop this. All he did was put three shungite nuggets on these little Nook hives. And what happened? Within 3 weeks, there was no sign of any mites, no sign of disease. And 5 weeks after that, the first of those hives swarmed, split in half, and sent a whole, 50,000 bees into the wild. It sounds like magic, it sounds crazy, but it's what happened, and it's a repeat of what happened last year. if we get people to understand what's happening with shungite, then we can turn it all around. Because what does shungite do? Well, first off, it does a lot of really amazing things. Purifies water, takes toxins out of everything, you know, saves the bees. It does all these wonderful things and things we don't even truly understand yet. But more importantly, it also demonstrates that it can be done. Magic can happen. Magic's the manipulation of energy.
How can we do that for, like, mosquitoes?
What do you mean about mosquitoes?
Well, they're insects.
So what's your problem with them?
Aren't they disappearing?
Yes, like every other one.
Well, my thing is, how can we help save the mosquitoes and the gnats and the flies? And where can we put shungite for them?
Well, I took a turtle. I had no mosquitoes on the property. The water had been sitting there, and it was a wheelbarrow full, big wheelbarrow, and no mosquitoes in it. And so I talked to Derek, and he actually said that he believed that, you know, it could also be attributable to the chemtrails. You know, that the water that's laying there has got chemistry in it, keeping the mosquitoes from thriving. Because they should have been thriving in there and nothing. So yeah. I thought about it, and then I went and got one of the turtles. And I asked the turtle to clean up the water and the air and everything around. And I didn't come back. I don't believe I came back the next day. I think it was 2 days later I came back, and there was a trillion mosquitoes in there. And so then after a bit, I thought, you know, I probably got enough mosquitoes in that thing. I better go see, you know, because I don't want to overdo the mosquito population.
Right.
And I go out there, and there's no mosquitoes in there anymore. It's full of frogs, polywogs. So the frogs had laid their eggs in there. The polywogs had eaten the mosquitoes. And now I had a whole bunch of frogs.
We get a whole bunch out in our ditch. And they just had babies. The noise at night was ear-deafening. Poor Annette, she sleeps in the front part. Yes! Oh, my gosh. And it was loud. So, I don't know where they're getting their mosquitoes. Oh, I forgot. I have a pool cage, so I don't get mosquitoes when I'm outside. Maybe we do have some. And another one, butterflies. I do have butterflies that fly around. I have pretty pink tree brushes, and well, they have pink and purple flowers on them. And the mosquitoes, it must be a flowering tree that attracts mosquitoes or butterflies, because I get these butterflies all the time. But how can we help the butterflies? We need a spray, maybe.
No, I'm telling you, it's the intention of just putting the energy out there. That's all I did. I used the turtle to enhance my thoughts of everything's okay. Fix everything. And I look out my window, and I have a fire bush out there. And at any given time, I've got six butterflies in my vision. Anytime I look out that window. And if I stand there, I'll see a lot more. But as soon as I turn towards the window and look at that bush, no, they're there. We can change it. But we have to believe we can change it, just with our minds.
Oh, I see. So I could even use Mr. Turtle and tell him.
Ask him?
Yeah, ask him. I don't mean tell. I never tell Mr. Turtle what to do. He's an ornery little guy. He won't do something if I tell him. I could ask him to make sure that he can send out these energies to increase living values for insect worlds and butterfly worlds and whatever else I think of. I can do it like that.
It's sort of like what you're doing is you're putting out your thought intention. Now, not everybody has a water turtle. Not everybody has shungite. But there is a shungite weave out there. It's an energy field that is just an energy field. Like, think of it as a super consciousness or, you know, the collective consciousness. Let's put it that way, okay? People believe in shungite, okay? As they believe in it, it gets stronger and stronger. That's why the shungite is working the way it does. But you don't even need the shungite because all you need is your human intention. Put the thoughts out there. Something like, please, shungite all over the world, just turn on and help the biosphere become perfect again.
Oh, I like that. That's easy.
It's easy. But everybody that puts that thought out there now builds a new reality of a biosphere perfect. And now okay, I think you can do it worldwide because I think there's been a shift in consciousness where humanity is in fact thinking of itself as a species, as one family. I believe it in my gut that we've passed some 100th monkey limit and the majority of people are feeling it if they don't understand it. There's a unification of people all over the world.
Oh, I feel that too. Yeah.
So, I think that if you do it anywhere in the world for the world, it will work. Now, prior to this, there's been episodes where people have attempted to do things that they could do, like this one woman getting rid of chemtrails in California. She could do it, basically with her intent and shungite. Okay? But when she went to Italy and tried to do the same thing there, it wouldn't work. And Walt said, well, that's because you don't have dominion over Italy. We have dominion over the planet. Don't limit yourself. Don't think about Florida. Don't think about the United States. Think of the planet as being one. That's where I think that we have to go in our heads. And as soon as we get there and we start putting enough energy into it, that's what's going to manifest. Yeah?
Yeah. I've been thinking about, there's no divisions in the world for a long time. I haven't felt the divisions in a long time. I guess I should say it that way.
Because I think that's one of the reasons you're here, to anchor in that kind of energy. You anchor in the angelic energy. I have this kind of like almost childish attitude towards some of these things. It's like, no, I want to see what I, on my own. I want to see it unfold, you know, without somebody telling me what's about to happen or what could. I mean, I just get into the storytelling and the way the story unravels itself. And that's what I look at as reality. You know, all options are on the table. Well, not so many anymore. But I vote that we, you know, create a new reality and have fun.
We've been doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Been doing it for years.
Yeah. Sherry pointed out that I can get very anxious about things lately. Well, for a few months now. And I've noticed that myself. And I don't understand why. What do I have to be anxious about, for crying out loud?
Because we are in a very critical time. I mean, Dave warned us about this. You know, when he was talking to us about last year, you know, nobody really knows what's happening. And now this year, everything is going to happen fast. You know, he has.
And it does seem to be, yeah.
He didn't say to us, well, you're running out of time. He never said that.
Right.
But if you look at what he said, it's like, you know, decisions have to be made. The decisions were made. We're committed to a path of operation. And now we got to run. And so we're anxious because we don't know. We're running. You know, before we were like walking through, you know, now we're like, oh, where the hell are we going?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I can't even keep up with myself. Yeah, but I mean, if you talk to people, you find out, like we do, that it's happening to everybody. It's not just one person. So it's like a reset of energy levels, in my opinion. I feel it's all energy. Wow. So we're all going through an upgrade in our energetic bodies. We're ascending, Dolly. We're ascending.
Oh, hallelujah.
The event is happening.
Yes. I'm ready. Let's do it.
You know, it happens in its own time, but I think it is happening. I think there is changing. I don't exactly know what it, I mean, it's not like I know what's happening. I'm just feeling that, no, there's definitely something changing. And of course, that's anxiety. That'll bring on anxiety because you're adjusting. You're out of balance. Grab a hold of your shungite.
Yeah.
Activate it.
Oh.
That's why I'm so, you know, fast and furious trying to not let that happen, because, oh my gosh, if that happens, then we'd come back. If I came back to the, I don't think I would want to, but who knows? Maybe there is some, you know, no, you got to go back there. I don't want to go back there. Let's fix it now. At least we got a handle on it. We can fix it.
Yeah. And we just do it by sending our thoughts out, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have to start taking an active participation. It's like mind warfare. You know, they're trying to control us. As I said on the, you know, on Reality Insight, they give us all these false realities. Everything is fine. Trump is the demon.
Right.
AI is the answer.
Yeah.
You know, your politicians would never do anything to hurt you. The pharmaceutical companies are trying to heal you. Your schools are being attacked by crazy people. Nothing to do with us. You know,
right.
I mean, all of this. I mean, when you look at what they're trying to tell people, what they're putting on people, wow, guys, wake up! This is just such bullshit. The reality is much different than this. Conspiracy people are not the quacks. They're trying to keep you from questioning your own reality. So they say the people like us that question it are quacks.
Yeah.
And you're believing their reality instead of our reality. And if you would look at our reality, we have the vast amount of evidence. We do not have the vast amount of propaganda vehicles such as TV and movies. And, you know, the school systems, how they're set up, what the political messaging is. We don't have control over that. But we do have control over thought, and we do have control over the collective consciousness, if we so desire to take it. Up to us.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking I need to start a new practice. Because when I open my eyes in the morning, I kind of sometimes open them slowly because I don't know where I'm going to be. And I think what I want to start adding is I want to start picturing the universe, including with seeing the world inside the universe and all its workings, Earth. I want to picture them. It's healing. It's in the process of healing. and everything is okay. And when we get on the other side of this restorative energies and new energies, it's going to be new and beautiful and wonderful. Everybody's going to be that way. New, beautiful, wonderful. The world. And so I'll start doing that.
I think the word is whole. To see the universe whole. Come together. No divergent, I hate you, you hate me, all this war and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
For one particle of time and place, let's just all be one, whole. All of these individuals, you know, coming together to do it right, to love one another, to experience joy, and sometimes a little excitement on a roller coaster or something, but, you know, to basically live like we can. Right?
Yeah. But I'm still going to visualize beautiful.
Whatever.
You do the whole part. I'll do the beautiful part and they'll work together.
Well, that's the thing, is that everybody's got a story.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like the stories are all going to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
And just, you know, believe in your story. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't important for you to be here.
Right. With my history, we know that.
Well, I'm not talking to you directly. I'm talking to anybody. You know, there's what, almost 8 billion people on the planet. And God needed you here? Mm-hmm. That's not an insignificant thing. You're here. You've got an open ticket to participate. It's your decision whether you do or not. And it's our job to make sure that people know that they have that decision.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I don't know how many people actually listen to us, but if one person, two people, three people, 30 people, 40 people, it doesn't matter. If they listen to us, and they become as focused as we know we become. Just that small little seed in the collective consciousness will grow and nurture, because I know that what we're saying and what we're seeing, others throughout the world are seeing and saying the same thing. We are not alone. But if you don't open your one voice, then it'll never be a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty good phrase, too. If you don't open your own voice, you'll never be a chorus. We have so many mysteries out there in the universe right now. We don't have to be fighting each other to have excitement in our lives.
Right.
You know, we can go find these treasures. And the beauty of it is that if we got into the full powers of humanity and God, because we're just a reflection of God. I mean,
right.
you re-manifest. So, I mean, you keep creating new treasures. Life could be a treasure hunt, you know, and barbecued parties and, you know, square dancing and roller coaster rides. It doesn't have to be blood and guts and blech, and control. I want to control.
I don't want control of anything. It takes too much energy.
I have no clue as to why they would want to do that, because of that reason. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
What's the payback, you know?
Right.
Well, I just think that this new upgrade of energy that's coming into us, it's opening us to new possibilities. Of imagining new realities. Tomorrow you're probably not going to, you know, notice that there's a different color to the sky, or, you know, different people have turned into different beings, you know, that all of a sudden they're waking up. I think it's a gradual readjustment of our energies. But I think that what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, is that these energies will be one of imagining, of writing more, let's say, exhilarating stories of potential. We're not going to be limited anymore by what we think is real. I think it's going to be a very interesting July.
Well, I have noticed that there's added colors to the blues in the sky. Uh-huh. There's one that's exceptionally beautiful to me now. It's kind of a hazy purple blue. Have you seen that?
No, but I haven't looked at the sky in a while.
I do. When I lay in the pool on my back, I'm looking up at the sky. And I don't know if it's just over here on this side of Florida, the east side, but there's always many layers of the clouds when the clouds are out. It's not just, oh, yeah, there's a pretty white cloud. Above that cloud is another cloud, and above that cloud is more cloud, and above that is more sky. I've noticed that lately, and it's beautiful.
That's reminding me of something that decades ago probably was told to me. And it was that we would see cloud formations that looked very odd to us. But that if you took a camera out and you were able to take a UV picture, you would see a star vehicle there.
Like when I took the picture of the moon.
Yeah. I bet they got some app for that you can take UV pictures. We should get everybody taking pictures of the sky that way. By the way, they got a really weird picture down here in South Florida that was like a missile going off. You know that you see it looks like a missile with this huge plume of energy, white, you know, envelope uh-huh. behind it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, they just sent one off. Was it recent?
A couple nights ago.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it an X?
Oh, I don't remember what it was. We could probably go to the site.
Yeah, but I was just saying that a couple of people that Stephanie knew had actually gotten photographs of it.
Oh, it's spectacular.
SpaceX. I think she said it might
SpaceX?
Be.
SpaceX? Oh, I believe it because yeah. SpaceX is right here.
Yeah.
I've been in SpaceX.
I know. That was neat. Hey, listen, we're at the top of the hour, so I'm going to thank you very much. It's been fun. And I'm going to start playing replays, and I love you very much. And everybody out there, please be safe. Please be blessed. And get your mind into it. You know, put out those thoughts. Work it. And you got anything to say?
No. Yeah, I love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Love you.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise.
Okay, so it stopped
fun,
before.
We're doing
I think
something
it stopped.
Wrong.
No, it hasn't. Let's quiet. Oh, we're stopping. I couldn't find my glasses. Somehow, since I was last here, I couldn't find my glasses. And so I was running around trying to do that. Derek is here now. Derek, you there, darling?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Let me just check this. Okay. So, what did you think of that tape? Good old Dolly.
Oh, I love hearing Dolly, and she giggles so much. It's funny that I love hearing that. It makes me smile every time. Yeah, and that was interesting. A refresher on the issue with the insects and, you know, of course, the bees. And no, I like that was a good segment to play at the intro.
Right, because we're in. What? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead, because that's right. I was just going to fill in the space.
Oh, I've got the other glasses on, but I'm not seeing really well the screen. The sixth extinction event, it is real. And one of the things, I don't know if you heard it, you know, on Cosmic Reality Radio Show, Walt and I like to go over Fulton, what Ben Fulton has said, because he sets out so many different topics that we can kind of, like, go off on.
Oh, Ben Fulford, yeah.
Ben Fulford. What did I say?
Fulton, I think. That's right. Fulford. We all know who.
Well, because I said it, and then I said, did I say that right to myself? Anyway, he the last time he was out, he was talking about the White Dragon Society, or whatever it is, threatening the cabal, that if you don't capitulate right now, we're going to nuke your cities. And I was appalled. I'm going like, oh my God, I thought these were the good guys. They're going to use nukes? And the reason for it was given is that the environment is in such a critical condition that to nuke cities, to bring down the cabal, is necessary because of the time constraints. And I was like, wow. So it's not just me that realizes we're on the verge of an absolute biological collapse. But I found that fascinating. Any comment?
Yeah, that is. I haven't actually heard any of the Fulford reports for a while. I've got a couple stacked up I need to listen to or read. So that's interesting about the nuclear, you know, threats or whatnot. I don't actually think any of that's going to happen. A lot of it's scare tactics, but I agree with you on the threats to the, you know, the ecosystem and what's taking it out. And it's a plethora of things, all sorts of, I think it's going to be again, the EMF, the chemicals, everything else, the spread of 5G, all that's going to take out our bees and insects, and then that'll, of course, then us. So I think it's going to work that way rather than just a big bomb going off and being the end of things. I think it's going to be
they were using the nuclear threat against these people to capitulate so they can fix the economy. I mean, the ecology. You know, see what I'm saying? It's gone beyond economic considerations, political considerations, anything. Now, this just sort of came out of the, you know, woof, all of a sudden they're talking, we're going to nuke you because you're killing the planet. That, to me, was like, wow. And I had not heard anything from anybody in any of that arena discussing the ecological ramifications of the cabal being there and being in control. And that, of course, is the problem. So sure. The fact that the White Dragon Society, I hope I'm saying that right, is willing to nuke their cities, what, Washington, you know, London, where else did they say? Oh, the Vatican. They were willing to nuke them to stop it, to throw everything into absolute chaos in order to pick it up and save the world. They think it's a crisis situation.
Well, they're assuming everybody lives there.
Say again?
When has anybody ever taken out the head of anything and the number two guy or gal or number three or number four hasn't stepped in and continued? So nuking a city makes no sense anyway. I mean, who says that's like logic thinking they're all piled in one big building and just waiting to nuke it at that moment sort of thing. And even if you got lucky and did that, if you want to call it lucky, there's a number two person, a number three, who's not there. So that wouldn't accomplish anything.
In this case, it would. I think this would, because all of their system is all coordinated between these three different cities. I think it would work, but it would throw everything into turmoil. They don't want that. But to put it on the table as a threat, you know, we will nuke you because you're killing the planet. That, to me, was a game changer. You know, that I know that that's not something that they want to do, nor something that they're probably planning to do. However, to put it on the table to say, you are killing the planet. You got to stop. You got to get out of here. That to me was a game changer. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about the ecology and all of this, you know, but all of a sudden it was on the table. And I think that's because more and more people are understanding the crisis. Now, mainstream media is not going to tell you this. Hopkins will tell you it. You know, but I hope everything is okay. I've just got a, I went away. Skype told me I had a bad network connection. I'm going, oh, no, I don't think I do. I don't want to have a bad network.
No, you're still here. No.
You know, so I just found that I guess what I need to try to convey to people is that we are in a crisis situation. Forget about the economy. Forget about the politics. Forget about all of it. And focus on the fact that we are killing this entire beautiful blue planet. Now, the fact of the matter is we're going to kill ourselves. The planet will eventually come back to life. You know, I mean, unless you absolutely blow it up, it's going to come back to life. But if the human species wants our story to continue, you better start paying attention and you better start doing something. Now, in that particular segment, now this was June of this year, we did not have the crowdfunding thing in operation. In the next hour, we're going to discuss the crowdfunding program that's going on. I mean, it's just another indication of how it's growing, that there's more and more people waking up, becoming aware, and realizing that the only thing that has got any way of helping us, of making it a playing field that we can win, is shungite. We've seen what it's doing for the bees. Now, that's what's so critical about the bee question. When I first began to think in terms of shungite helping the bees, it was because I believed the Wi-Fi was the critical element in the collapse, the colony collapse disorder. I never gave much, as I said in the tape, I never gave any thought to the other insects. It was the bees, you know. But the reality is that the bees are showing us, demonstrating for us that, yes, the shungite will, in fact, assist them in getting back to a condition where they can heal themselves. If you take out the toxins, they're going to be fine. But where's the toxins? The toxins are in the air. The toxins are in the water. But the number one culprit, the one thing that we can do and do instantaneously, is the Wi-Fi. And when we do it, you have demonstrated for 2 years now that there is a massive change in the health of a beehive when shungite's introduced to it. If that's true, then it's proving our statements regarding the Wi-Fi being the main culprit. And anybody who has done the studies, you can see the proliferation of the Wi-Fi was what was in actuality corresponding to the breakdown in the bee colonies. And the reason we know this is because bees are kept by human beings. You can count them. Oh my gosh, I've got 5 hives, they've all died. You can count them. But you don't go out into the wild and count how many mosquitoes are out there. So for the average person, even the technical people, they didn't realize what was happening. And then suddenly, and it's not so sudden, I mean, the original study that started this up in my mind was the German study on some parks, type of things, you know, where they was government, you know, they were in there, and they started counting the bugs. And they found out that 76% of the biomass was gone. And that was like a few years ago. So where are we at now? It's come down to a point that if you don't wake up, if you don't become aware, you're not going to help the situation. period. If you do, and you put your mind and your energies into realizing there's a problem, my God, there is a problem, and we can fix it. But we can only do that if we come together as one massive team of humanity. This breakdown of Britain and Canada and France and Saudi Arabia, all these country things, we shouldn't be breaking it down as if there's some barriers that make us all different. Oh, because you live in Saudi Arabia, you're basically different than me. No, you're a basic human being with the same needs, the same wants. You know, your society is different. The way that you participate in your stories are different. But the basic human being is what we're talking about. And in my opinion, if we don't do something about it, the basic human being and all the rest of them are going to be gone with the insects and everything else. Now, why? I don't know. You know, Derek, it comes down to that question of, are these people really evil? Or are they just really incredibly stupid? You know, the bad guys.
Maybe a lot of short-sighted, yeah, maybe a lot of short-sightedness, or a little combination of all of it.
It just doesn't make any sense. If you look at the data, I mean, people say, we're crazy people over here. No, we have the data, you don't. But you won't look at our data because your database, your mass media is telling you that we're crazy. So you just discount us because you say, oh, well, they're crazy. Or is it that most people just don't want to know how bad it is because, oh, well, I'd rather be an ostrich with my head in the sand, as my sister told me once. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't like to sound like a paranoid raving maniac. You know? But the reality is what I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. And it's not like the scientists are making this up. I'm not going to, you know, alternative websites for this information. I'm looking at scientific websites where they're willing to go that route because they have to. That's what they're here for. You know, tell the truth. Now, the fact that the truth that they're telling, because this is the other thing that happens. All of a sudden, I'll get on a subject like the sixth extinction and go, well, this has been around for a decade. How come I didn't know it? It's because it's out there and it gets lost. All of these things that I'm talking about are not last week's news. It's almost like they did the research, it was sitting there, and now people are becoming awake and we're being led to the information, but we're being led to the information at a point in time where we also have a solution. And it's not simply the Shungite. It's the participation of humanity coming together as one species, not as broken up little tribes. So, talk to me. What are you thinking?
No, I agree. I'm listening to you, just taking it in. I agree that it's, I mean, well, excuse me, but on the topic of, you were talking about maybe people not believing it, or I think it's more of a tension thing. So there's so much going on today with so many distractions, you know, the least of which, of course, is a cell phone right in front of our faces for a better part of the day, that just gets lost in the mix as far as, you know, the B losses and everything else. It's overwhelmed. And, you know, of course, somebody listening to this radio show is going to be informed and aware and realize there's problems. But maybe the average person thinks it's just scare tactics or something. I'm not sure. Or again, lost in the thousands of news articles that come out on a daily basis, or all day long. So it may be hard just to focus, but. So it's more about just spreading the word. And as long as we keep talking about it and you bringing it up and doing like those shows you did with Dolly, and we all sharing them. And now what we're going to get into this next hour, I think that'll help. So it's just making people aware and again, keeping them less distracted with other things that are, you know, maybe not as important in life, like news, TV, and the Kardashians.
Poor Kardashians, they're always bashed.
They're my go-to one. And I'm not even sure what they're all about, but that's okay.
Well, Dolly is an odd kind of person, because in many ways she's very childlike in her response to the Shungite devices she has. She understands the complexity and the interconnectedness of life, but she also understands the, let's say, how would I put it, that energy, it doesn't necessarily have to take the form of a human being or a dog or a cat. It can also be an energy form of sentience within a mineral, a sentience within a device. She doesn't limit her imagination. And because she doesn't, she sees an amazing amount of magic in her life. You know, you have to be able to imagine the worst, but also imagine the best. Where it's not just humanity that's in this fight. It's the Shungite. It's the water. It's the air. I mean, all of your native Aborigine kind of peoples have had gods that were the god of the air, the god of the wind, the god of, you know, all of these different gods, because they understood there is something more than the 3D mechanical, you know, measurable world. And because our ancestors believed in gods and spirits, and, you know, that if you see a coyote, it means a certain thing. If you stumble over a snake, don't say that in front of Dolly, it means something. Because each of these different entities have a spiritual energy and messages. But beyond that, there is a working sentience that you can communicate with. And it's hard for a modern person who's locked into that cell phone to imagine this kind of reality that's so full of magic and mystery. And and you don't feel alone. You know, once you get connected to it, once you feel it, once you know that as an individual human being, you are incredibly important, because you have an energy source that can be focused in ways that perhaps a stone can't focus. You know, I mean, it's a different type of sentience, but it's still there. Am I making sense? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you are, because actually what you're talking about is what's sitting about 3 feet from me right now. I have a friend who makes them and works with them, but call them consciousness constructs. So I have two of those right next to me. One is in the form of a mask made out of wood and other material. Then I have a shell with other quartz and various objects attached to it. Think like a little piece of art. And in those two, we'll call them devices or whatnot, but there's actually consciousness in those two. So, and we call them consciousness constructs. They're entities. They'll come in when they're needed, communicate through them. They have names just like us, and they'll come in for periods of time. So that's, you're not talking crazy to me, that's for sure. So again, I'm sitting right next to two of them, and I don't think I've ever even mentioned that before.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that Dave Corso told us about a week ago that, well, it was a week ago tomorrow, that we had to start being aware of messages from spirit, from these etheric beings, and to be just aware of your surroundings. Don't think that the crazy person over there is necessarily crazy. They may be an angel with a message.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jamie Bates came up with a story that's just absolutely, if you haven't heard it yet, it's on YouTube. Jamie Bates, Cosmic Reality, just go Cosmic Reality, Jamie Bates, and it's the last show she did. But I had an experience that I talked about on, say what show, I guess it was, that I was in Home Depot, and this, you know, they got these long, long aisles, And so I'm walking and pushing this cart that's got everything from the to build the catio for the cats. And this, all of a sudden, it wasn't like I saw this guy walking towards me. It was all of a sudden he was right there. He was scruffy looking, pushing a cart, and he gave me the thumbs up and the biggest smile. And I was like, thank you, you know. But what happens when these, it was like I was in a bubble of energy, Derek. It was like, mm-hmm. something had shifted energetically, and it was like I'm in this bubble. This guy pops in, he does this to me, and I know that it was just a message from the universe saying, good deal on the catio thing. You got everything you can eat to make it. But it was also a demonstration of what Dave was saying to us. So there's more and more magic happening as more and more people will allow it into their realities. And we're at the top of the hour. I'm going to play a little break song here, even though we've been listening to tapes. And when we come back, Derek is going to present a way that you can engage in a more active way to be able to focus your energies into making a difference. Not by going out, we want your money. We want a little money from you. But to put your money into it, to focus on it, to make the change, because every time somebody makes a change in their own reality, their own beingness, their own bubble space, it starts resonating and others around you start changing as long as you are the most powerful force. And that's just a matter of how you are thinking. So I'm going to play a song. I don't even have it up yet. Okay, what's up? Imagine Dragons. Thunder? Okay, good. We're going to dance. We'll be right back.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, want to let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and want to leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
While I was scheming for the masses, who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy. You're always riding in the backseat. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you were clapping in the nosebleed.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder.
Thunder.
And welcome back to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. It's November 13th, 2018. With me is Derek Condit. And Derek, you there?
I hope you can hear me. My headphones just came apart. I kind of rigged them back together.
Oh, wow. Not the new ones I just got you, I hope.
Yeah, but I was messing with the earpiece and just like extending them a little bit wider and they just kind of popped out, but so not broken. I think maybe just the band across your head came out of the earpiece. Well, I'm kind of rigging them right now so they stay on for the rest of the radio show. But if you hear a banging, that was the headphones, not me falling.
Okay. Oh, Lordy. All right. So you want to introduce the, crowdfunding?
Sure. Yeah. What Nancy's talking about is we've been working in the background for the last couple months on an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign to help us spread the word regarding Shungite and saving the bees. And we're trying to get funds to do just that. We're looking to start chapters in all of the states and actually across the globe. So we're looking for chapter leaders who can – they don't have to be beekeepers, you know, somebody to help represent us and maybe share some information to their local beekeepers, just a point of contact. And through the crowdfunding campaign, we're looking to do some upgrades here at the Washington State Apiary and expand the bee colonies here and the queen bee production to help in the next spring of 2019 start some Shungite beehives again across the U.S. with the queen bees and then information worldwide. So we'll post a link here in the chat, and then we'll have it under the show notes as well when this radio show gets posted with the link to the campaign. Where we've put together a pretty extensive group and accumulation of knowledge. We put some video on there and some more information explaining how we're using Shungite and some perks for those who want to make a donation and get involved. And we appreciate that very much because it does, you know, take money to help get the word out and spread. And we're trying to make it so possibly I can go to different conferences in 2019 and help spread the word to other beekeepers. And basically talk and travel and basically interact. Do you want to add anything to it, Nancy?
Well, tell them how to get to the Indigo thing.
Yeah, I posted a link. And so that's what I was saying. We'll post a link in the chat, which I just did again, but then it'll be under the show notes as well. But if you go to Indiegogo itself, you'd have to do a search, basically, and I'm doing it now to figure out the exact, because it doesn't work by a title. But if you go to the Indiegogo website and you type in Shungite and Save the Bees, you'll show up at our campaign, and it's called Save All Bees Today, the Miracle Mineral Shungite. And then that's where you'll be able to view our project that we put together. And again, the information and video. So I'd probably say the easiest way, and again, I know a lot of people listen to this on the radio, so they don't necessarily see the links, but if Indiegogo.com, and then if you type in the search box for campaigns, it's under Save All Bees Today, the Miracle Mineral Shungite. We appreciate it if you can spread it.
Mm-hmm. We'll put the information on the website, cosmicreality.net, and so that there will be a link there. We'll put it on the front page. So they can just go there and then directly link into the campaign. That sound right?
I've done that. I'm glad you said that because I did do that already. So right on the front page of the Shungite store, yep, you'll see a little note and then a B. So if you just click on that, it'll take you there, and then you can do more information, and again, hopefully, you know, spread amongst your networks on Facebook or whatnot. We'd appreciate any help with that whatsoever.
And again, you put your energy out in the way of the money. You know, you put a little money out. We're giving you Derek's gifting you some really nice gifts, to be honest with you. And hopefully, not hopefully, but this is the only way that we're going to generate enough interest, enough energy to be able to take the message to everybody in the world that the Shungite will save the bees. if we can save the bees, and shungite's the reason why, and shungite is known for detoxification and also to be able to protect against electromagnetic and Wi-Fi energies, then we will have the attention of all of these pseudo know-it-alls out there that, you know, I mean, you go to somebody that's out there talking about the devastation of the bees, and they've got credentials from this place and that place, and we say, but we, look at, we're saving the bees. Well, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to conform to the rules and regulations of scientific inquiry. That's all BS. It's part of the scheme to keep information from flowing. You know, the guy that makes a car that runs on water, he should be able to make that car run on water and yell at the universe, try it out. And, you know, everybody should be jumping on this. But no, everybody waits until somebody of authority says, you know something? Derek was right. You can save the bees with shungite. You know, well, by that time, we're dead. You know, we're running out of time here. That's the basic bottom line. But by putting your money into the campaign, you're putting your energy into it. And once you donate to something, I mean, it happens with me. If I actually reach into my pocket and donate, that particular whatever I donated to now becomes has a greater importance in my life because I just gave it some money. And so that's part of this, is to just generate energy and focus. Remember the $5 you gave? Well, that $5 is going for the bees. Maybe you ought to pay attention here and see where that $5 is going. You know, and tell your friends. Get your friends involved. Get your family involved. Because if you do nothing, if you hear our message and you do nothing, well, what was the point? We have an opportunity. All of us have an opportunity of bringing magic back into the universe, into this universe, our world. And all it takes is believing in ourselves. And that's where I think we are today, is that we have to believe there is magic out there and bring it forth. The magic in this case is shungite. But the shungite is based on science. It's just the science that mainstream media is not comfortable with. It's quantum physics. They don't feel comfortable with it because there's basically what it tells you is that energy is the root of everything. And so if it's energy, how do you control energy? You know? Well, Dolores Cannon, who I love. You know Dolores, Derek?
Oh, yeah. Very familiar.
And she wrote the first book in her series, of the last, I believe it was the last series she wrote before she died, was A Convoluted Universe. And in the last, in the first book, in the, like, you know, a couple pages from the end, she asks the spirits, what is the purpose of humanity? And the response was to understand the manipulation of energy. And that's what we're doing here. We're understanding energy and how to manipulate it. Now, somebody got all over my case because I used the word manipulate, because manipulate is like control and dominate. No, manipulate. Manipulate is taking something and using it. Manipulating its, okay, shungite by itself is sitting in a field in Russia. We take the shungite and then we make it into products. We have manipulated the basic shungite to
you manipulate a tool
as a tool to change energies, to enhance energies, to make it more electric signal. You know, that's the prime example, an electric signal. You manipulate it when you put it down through a wire that goes to a light bulb and you turn the light bulb on. You know, so don't get hung up on the concept of manipulate. It's understanding that energies build the universe. And if you understand that basic premise, then you spend your life trying to figure out, well, how do I work with these energies? You know, what will benefit me by manipulating these energies. In this case, you're manipulating the beehive by adding shungite energy to it, and then the shungite energy is manipulating the environment of the hive to attenuate the electromagnetic, the radiation, the toxics, the everything that's coming into that environment. Now you got a bubble of shungite. And inside that bubble of shungite, the magic happens. All of this stuff just falls apart. Or in the case of Wi-Fi signals, they just attenuate. Energy attenuates, changes its spin, that's all. And the functionality and the power of the signal is still there. We're not trying to destroy technology. We're trying to make technology safe. Now, I don't know what the big deal is out there, you know. I mean, like, you've made a dirty system. That's okay. We can fix it. They don't want that information known. Why? Because there's a group of people out there that are just really sociopaths, psychopaths. They're crazy people. I mean, really, truly, insanely crazy. How they got there, I have no clue. I don't know if they're reptilians or they're agents of the devil. I don't know. But all I know is that there's a hell of a lot more than us. And all we have to do is stand up and say, that's it. Forget it. You know? And talk to me, Derek. You know, what do you think?
Well, on that, I was just going to say, sociopaths and narcissists tend to, you know, accumulate towards the top. That's what they do, and that's why they're there. And unless we stop that from happening, that's going to continue to happen. You were mentioning the energy portion. Well, a manipulation, there are no negative. I mean, just, you're right. Don't read it negatively, because isn't that what a baker does? Takes some dough and manipulates it into biscuits or croissants or this, that, or the other thing. I mean, it's just a change, but they're using it to use it a different way. So I agree with you on that as far as manipulating energy. That's not a bad, I mean, it could be done negatively. So don't take your ball of dough and throw it at somebody and hit them. No, turn it into something to eat that's nice. But, and then is it on the energy still? We're not separate, because if you think of energy, we're a bunch of energy balls and we're in a room together. We're all interacting, so we are all one. So even just like drops of water in a bowl, how do you tell the difference? Where do you delineate between them? Yes, when we're further apart, there's distances, but we're still all energy. So when we're in a room together, all our energies are still interacting, you know, to one degree or another, depending on us. So I agree with, you know, basically everything you said as far as the energy manipulation. And again, don't read it as manipulation as negative. I mean, it can be done that way, but use that tool in a good way. That crescent wrench, you're just manipulating the crescent wrench so it can, you know, fit the right nut or whatnot on there. So, no.
It's a scary situation we're into. I mean, you know, in reality, it's like, oh Lord, what are we going to do here? And when I was talking with Dolly, she's like, well, how do we get the shungite to, you know, the other, I mean, we can put it in the hive, yes. But the idea here is that we have many, many devices that Walt Silva has produced. So we know that there are ways of being able to make the changes where it starts. You know, as the signal comes out, the antenna, the first antenna system it goes over, if you attenuate it at that point, then you don't have to worry about your house. We can do it so fast. I mean, this is the thing, is that it can be done so very, very fast. You're talking, you know, just put these devices at the beginning of the stream of energy and information. But can you imagine us going to Verizon and saying, hey, can we put these things on your antennas? You know?
It wouldn't go over too well.
Unless you had somebody that, you know, had given to the crowdfunding that understood what we were doing and talking about. And all I can say is that I've been at this, well, I've been at this for 40 years talking about the dangers, but on the radio, we spend as much time as we can. We've got a company that's dedicated to saving the bees, making the understanding of the dangers of Wi-Fi, of toxicity altogether, the chemistry, the water, everything, and how shungite can purify it, can be used to make all the difference in the world. And those people who are listening to us obviously know something about shungite. You're at least interested in listening to the show. There's a tremendous amount of data out there, and it goes back, you know, thousands of years. Thousands of years. Here now today in the modern world, because of the discovery of the fullerene and the fact that the fullerene happens to be in shungite, there's more and more interest in shungite. It started out, I don't know if you noticed that, but when they first started talking about the synthetic or lab-made C60, you didn't hear anybody talking about shungite and shungite's C60. But nowadays you do. They almost have to, you know, talk about it. And I've got another poor network. It keeps coming up, but now it's holding. I'm hoping that, is there anybody out there? Let me. I shut down my my browser because I wanted to find out if it was me that might be causing the connection, but it might be you, Derek. I'm just hoping that it's going over the air right. So give me a second. Talk to the people. I'm going to check the station, okay? Just talk to people.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. I'll tell them more about the crowdfunding, what we're doing on there. It's going to be the Indiegogo campaign crowdfunding we've been talking about. It's going to be active for the next 30 days. It'll actually end on December 12th. So we're hoping to get to people make contributions to help us expand here in the Washington State apiary. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. We're hoping to expand the beehives and actually double them this next year, and then get situated such that we can have visitors showing up here at the apiary and come through and see the bees. I've gone as far as to set up a hammock in the area of the beehives where people can kind of rest or meditate or just be around the bees. And the beauty of the shungite bees is we open the lids while you're laying there in a hammock, and the bees will come out and around. They don't sting you. You won't get stung. Isn't it, you know, granted you don't step on one, but yeah, they're so non-aggressive. It's a really fantastic feeling and energy just to be around the bees and the hives during the day in the springtime. So this would be a spring thing that we're looking at starting in spring, summer, and some of the fall, because we have interested parties that want to come through, some from universities, some just local people that have heard that we're here, or they want to come and travel here and be around them and learn some more information about the bees and see the beehives, how we're actually using shungite as well, and incorporate that into their beehives. So with some of the funds, we're hoping to, you know, get situated such that that'll be something we can do, and then hopefully travel, like I mentioned earlier, and go to some of these conferences and get the word out and show that, you know, shungite actually does this. As Nancy mentioned, so many scientific studies have been done on shungite, and we've republished most of those on the various websites. A lot of them are on shungitebeehives.com under the research tab. And it's, again, you can see the studies that the scientists show that shungite blocks particular frequencies, other abilities. And so it's all pulled from that, and then we've just incorporated it with the beehives and then had the miraculous results we had. So now it's just about sharing the information and helping get the word out. Well, did you figure out Nancy?
Yeah, we seem to be all right, even though I've got this thing up. One of the things that you mentioned along the way, me talking to you, or maybe today, was because we've got so many people out there that aren't really in contact with us, but are spreading the word, are talking to beekeepers, you know. Were you going to make different an organization that, or how are you seeing to be able to kind of coordinate efforts?
Sure. What we're going to do is actually within shungitebeehives.com, the forum, we're going to expand that, and we're going to have different chapters, again, for interested people that are in the various states, and it can be more than one person. So the state of California, we're tentatively going to call them, you know, maybe chapter leaders or something like that. And it'll be a contact in, or many contacts again in the state, where they can reach out hopefully to their local organizations and or beekeepers or other interested parties and share the information we'll provide them. So these chapter leaders will give them various printouts I've already started putting together and developing regarding shungite and the bees and how it's used and the results and where to find more information. In addition to providing links for these chapter leaders to share, that'll show videos, it'll show interviews we've done, be it on TV or radio or various Skype and Zoom chats that we're going to piece together. So basically trying to accumulate just a spot where everyone can go and get the information needed and again, take advantage of the forums with questions that we can all share from. So if a beekeeper or a chapter leader in California has a question or somebody's asked them, they can post that in the forums. And then all the other chapter leaders will be able to view it from there. And we'll, again, disseminate information through chapter leaders and the forum. So people don't necessarily have to go through a chapter leader, but that'll be a point of contact in the various states and countries. We have a couple in various countries already that are interested in doing that. And we'll provide them also with, again, this revolves around the crowdfunding campaign we're doing now. So we're hoping for the funds to where we can provide these chapter leaders with shungite nuggets and powder possibly to help beekeepers get started. Again, depending on the results of the crowdfunding, we'll have funds to approach larger beekeepers and hopefully get several hives turned into shungite beehives and expand from there. So that's what we're really hoping to do with it, with the whole crowdfunding campaign.
Well, you know, part of this is you don't have to be a beekeeper to get involved in this. You know,
not at all.
Why would, you know, again, just to go back to, we've talked about this last couple of shows, I think. Well, one show before this. But when Derek this year, because he took over the store, he came out, restarted the company under a different organization, so it's not nonprofit. Now, the reason we did that is very complicated. But basically, we had to set up the store is there, everything. You know, I mean, it was just, so the bees didn't get the attention that they could have. And Derek will tell you that swarming bees is not a normal thing. But in this case, they swarmed, right? Like, what was it? 5 weeks after you got these new nooks, the first of them swarmed. And all of these mm-hmm. bees went into the wilderness. Well, the wilderness, the surrounding environment. And because they were in that surrounding environment, the entire area went into blossoms like nobody had seen before. Apple trees so full of apples, the limbs were breaking. If you don't have bees in your neighborhood, you're not going to have good gardens. If you don't have bees in your neighborhoods, the trees aren't going to be able to repopulate themselves because there's no pollen being, you know, spread around. It's as simple as that. So if you go out to your local bee guy and you say, local bee guy, I can help you here, take these nuggets, put them on a beehive and see what happens. And then the guy sees the amazing, you know, response to it, and he begins to integrate the shungite, the bees are going to swarm. Okay, that's part of what we've discovered in the 2 years of experimenting with them. They're going to swarm. They're going to go into your environment. All right? Now, some of you are going to have problems because they're going to be a beehive on your house. You know? Because there's no nature out there for them. But there's also the mason bees. And we haven't talked about the mason bees in a while because they're trying to compile the database. When Dave from Crown Bees, correct me if I get wrong here, Derek, but Dave, the owner of Crown Bee Hives that does with mason bees, he used the shungite in the beginning of this year. And because of that, you got something happening on your mic. Are you muted?
I'm not muted, but I have a lot of birds and the trash truck outside.
Oh, okay.
I'll mute though.
Okay, I'm mute. So he put them on his hives. And what he does up there is that they make the little bees, and then they send the little bees to you, with, and you get a little house. And I don't suspect you actually need the house, but it's good to have because then you can monitor what's happening. And these are non-swarming. They're not honeybees, but they are incredible pollinators. So there's options that are available. But again, we're waiting on Dave to get all of his statistics because he keeps in contact with the customers that have his bees. And if they have a large response to the to growing, in other words, the mama bee, she goes and she, they're little houses and they're little straws. And they go into the straw and they lay an egg and then they build a wall and they lay an egg and build a wall and lay an egg. That's what they do, okay? And so at the end of the season, you might have a mason house that is full of little babies. Well, you don't want, maybe you don't think that you need all those babies in your neighborhood, all right? And you can send them back to Dave and he buys them back from you so that he's got them for the next person from, in my case, Florida, because the bees are specific to certain areas. And so he's compiling that information to give us a real feeling of how effective they were. But we didn't expect to hear anything from him. And a good, what, month and a half ago, he said, it's working. And I will testify that this is working. So he already knew. He doesn't know the numbers. And he's the biggest mason supplier in the world. So this is part of what the crowdfunding is and the concept of bringing more and more people into an active role in that, yes, you know, you're just by yourself. You're talking to us. You're listening to us. You want to start a chapter? You are a chapter. You're the first one that goes out and talks to other people. You've got the information. You go to the forum. You learn as much as you can. You know, participate. It's not going to take all that much time. All you have to do is be able to talk to people and go to the local. Get the local beekeepers involved in it. You know, fix your own environment. You know, be responsible for your own environment. Down here in Florida, after that Irma thing last year, that so-called storm, the bee population was devastated, absolutely devastated. In my yard, I've got bees all over the place. Why? Well, I've got shungite all over the place. They come back very quickly. It can all be done so quickly. But it just takes you talking to one beekeeper. Because every bee is important. We don't want any of them dying. Comment? You can unmute, you know.
Yeah, I was saying unmute because I heard your plane and I had the trash truck right outside as well in our
four. Well, that's what I was trying to do is get the...
Yep, and then we just lost you again, too, and I keep losing connections. So, actually, I hope I'm still on the radio.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Do you want me to...
Okay, good.
Do you want me to try to reset the call? I mean, we've been... You fade out every once in a while, but it's not that bad.
No, we'll just keep going. If I disappear, just... Yeah, we'll call back. And yeah, because you're cutting out, too, here and there. It's just...
I'm cutting out, too. I'm cutting out, too.
Yeah, you're dropping off. It could be my end. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. So let's just reset this, okay? We'll be right back. I'm going to reset the call, okay? All right. And you're back?
All right. I am.
Okay, let's hope that this time we've got it. Because, well, the birds I can hear louder now, so it's a better connection.
I know. And they're covered up, too. I don't have any place to put them. It's four parakeets, all having fun.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Well,
I'll have to have a reputation on them.
Okay. So, back to the chapters. So, the forum is going to be the place where these people that are interested can become educated specifically in the bee question, in the shungite question, and talk to other beekeepers, talk to other people who are, you know, wanting to get involved in this. So it's shungitebeehives.com is where you want to go for to join the forum, correct?
Exactly. And please do, I encourage any and all questions, just ask me directly in the forum or each other or anyone else, just any questions to anyone in the forum so we can share that information and it's seen. And if it needs to be moved around, if you're unsure of which category, and there aren't too many at this point, we'll move the question and comments around. But it's more about just getting the information in there so we can all share from it and add to it. Because I'd like to hear from other shungite beekeepers that have maybe tried something else. There's somebody in the chat that even here recently mentioned or asked a question about maybe just, can you get shungites near the hive if you can't necessarily get right up on them, sort of thing. And that's a great question. So in the spring, I'm going to try that. I'll take the hive and move the nuggets off a few feet and see, you know, what happens there. But questions like that and comments, and the more of them, the better. And we can all share and find different ways of doing it. Like I said, I'm putting them in the bird bath. So I like to share that information with other people. Even if you don't have a beehive, put a bird bath out in your yard, put some shungite in that bird bath. Now you got the shungite water and the local native bees will come. And that way, you know, you couldn't necessarily find their colony to put shungite near it, but they know where that water is. And as long as you keep it full of water, they're going to tell the other bees about it. And they know that's their watering hole now. So you are helping out, and you are in essence a beekeeper. You're helping a bee helper. So there's lots of ways to get involved without even having bees. And then you mentioned the mason bees. Those two, the results are going to be different there because they don't have, again, what's generally termed as colony collapse disorder as the honeybees, because the mason bees don't go far from their little tubes that Nancy was talking about, their little, sometimes they're bamboo shoots or paper tubes where they do their egg laying. But so it'll be interesting to see in the spring the number of mason bees that hatch relative to last year in the various areas or whatnot. So yeah, we are watching that as well. And again, that's a great way to get involved. If you can't have the honeybees, mason bees, you can go to your local co-op, farm store, even Walmart has them. Those little birdhouse looking houses with tubes in them, those are for mason bees. And they're usually kept right by the bird food. So, and you don't have to, you can just put them in your yard and your local, there's 130 different types of mason bee in the world. So depending where you're at, your local mason bees, you know, depending, will find those houses. So you don't necessarily have to buy mason bees to start the house off. They'll find it. And a way to encourage that is put a little bit of mud. So if you don't have, say, let's assume your backyard or patio, and you can have mason bees on a patio, put a tray out there, a cookie sheet or a bowl or something with some mud. Don't have too watery because you don't want them to have to swim in there, but mud they can walk, and that'll encourage them to basically, you know, take up residence in the mason bee house. Maybe you push on your apartment patio or house or whatnot. So it's really easy to help mason bees out. And again, they'll help all the gardens nearby, and they pollinate something like 400 times better than a honeybee does. It's incredible. So it's bees we need, not just a honeybee.
And they don't sting. They don't have stingers.
No stingers at all. That's what's so great. And they look like flies sometimes. They'll even, most people have probably seen them. They look like a house, kind of various sizes, but a green or bluish shine to them as well, often, like at least some flies in California. But those are little mason bees. And they'll be a little bit rounder. And like Nancy said, they don't sting. You can actually reach down and pick them up. They'll walk on your hand. They're interesting little guys to have around, and gals.
And again, this is another example of who knew? I didn't know about mason bees. I mean, I'd actually seen them. I thought, wow, that's a really weird looking bug, you know, not realizing it was a bee. But again, you got this little character that can go out and pollinate much better than the honeybees. But the honeybees get all the press because why? They make honey. All right, but it's like we have to look at the entire ecological structured to realize, you know, well, what do we really have to look at? We have to look at the Mason bees. We have to get them out there so that they can do their thing. But again, the only way we can prove it is working with the honeybees in a controlled environment where you can count, oh my God, we had 50,000, now we got a 50 million. Yeah, I guess it works, you know. And not 50 million, a million. A million, a million. A million was, anyway, you make a lot of bees, a lot of brand new bees. One thing I wanted to just point out there about the water, I was talking to my neighbor and he said he's got a pool. And he said he was getting bees, my bees, obviously, that were drowning in his pool. And that's because they're looking for the water. And the key to keeping the bees from drowning is to have things floating in the pool that the bee can actually get on so they can take off again, correct? Are you muted?
That's exactly right. I was muted, but that's exactly right. We'll toss leaves in there or something like that. And actually in our bird bath, so we're talking the bird bath, we'll just put larger stones in there or rocks, be it shungite or other ones. So if the bee does land and do a kamikaze drop of water, they can quickly, you know, kind of bee paddle over to the rock and crawl out. It didn't take them long to dry off. I sit there watching and because I was wondering if that was going to be a problem with the depth of the water. But no, just right in the pool. Put some pool toys in there or something else that the bees can swim to and grab onto and hopefully avoid the drains or cleaners on the sides.
Yeah, I set out a bird bath right next to the, well, I've got this gazebo thing that was screened in. And the vines started growing over it, and it was the coral vines. And after Irma took out all the, everything, except for a few bees. I mean, there were. I let these grow because the reason the collapse in the area was because there was no pollen. All of the things that would have produced the pollen had been blown off by the storm, so they had no food source. So that's why not only did the storm damage them from the winds and stuff, but it was that they also didn't have any food for the few that may have survived the storm itself. So I, in this coral vine, which is not natural to Florida, and I got all sorts of crap from naturalists here, it feeds the bees, and that was the only thing that was here. There was no mangoes. There were no, all of the fruit trees and everything and the, you know, the poncianas and all of this, they just didn't have anything to give the bees. So I let this thing grow. So now it completely covers this gazebo, you know, and I watched the, I know I'm going to probably have neighbors that are going to have bee problems, but I'm sorry. You know, I've got to look at the bee population and, you know, call a local beekeeper. They're not going to be aggressive bees. They're shungite bees. However, the gazebo with this coral vine growing on it is, I watched them. They kept getting more and more and more and more bees. And so I set up a water thing right there. And the problem with doing this is you have to remember to keep it full. You have to go out every day, make sure it's full, and make sure, in my case, that the raccoon didn't go in there and dump the whole thing out. I went out one day and I went, what happened to it? You know, and I have to think it was the raccoon, you know, out there, because we do have a raccoon. I know that because the dog goes crazy. Oh, he gets so fierce when he smells the raccoon. So there's little things that you have to consider when you're doing these, but that's what the forum is about. And you know, we get people that write us, contact us. I want to help. How do I help? We're so few. There's so few of us. We can't talk to you directly like this. You have to participate and learn by yourself, and learn with others learning by themselves. And that's the forum. Again, shungitebeehives.com, the forum. And it's a little bit difficult to understand how to navigate it at first because there's a lot of information, a lot of things happening on it. But once you get it, you get it, and then you can participate. Now, the statistics say that, you know, if you've got 100 people that are following something, it's only like one of the people are actually communicating, participating. This has got to change. You know, you can't just sit back and watch it. Yes, you can. You can sit back and watch it and put positive energy out. But if you want to take that next step, then you have to become involved. And that, in this case, is real simple. Just get understanding of what is happening. The beehives, just think bees. Don't worry about everything else. Just focus on the bees. And then go to the internet, find out where you got local beekeepers, and just go down and talk to them. You know, once you understand it, once you've talked to a few people, you're going to be able to get over your hesitation of talking about it. And you're going to start feeling comfortable with the knowledge. You're practicing the propaganda. It's propaganda. We're trying to get out there. We don't have a television station. We don't have massive ability to communicate directly to the masses of people. We have to do it in the best way that we can do it, and that's one individual learning what's happening, learning what can be done, and then taking the time to talk to their neighbors. Your neighbors are not your enemy. I had a situation here, Derek, where somebody wanted to put in this bizarre thing in our neighborhood. It was like some reason, I don't, it was crazy. It was just a money-grabbing scheme from a developer. And I realized that this would completely devastate this very residential area, myself and some others. So we began to put together a campaign to stop this building, which means you've got to present your case to the zoning department, and hopefully zoning will shut them down. To do this, you need petitions. And so I've lived here for like 30-some years, and I know the people that are across the street and on either side of me. I mean, you know, the surrounding properties. But I certainly have never gone, well, I have, you know, like 30 years ago. I hadn't been out into the rest of the area to, you know, talk to these people. And this is an area in South Florida that has many different ethnic groups here. I mean, there's islanders, there's Haitians and Jamaicans and people from the Caribbean. There are people from all over. This is not, Miami area is not an American city. It's an international city. Years ago, they said that there was over 236 different dialects of language spoken here in Florida, in South Florida, in Miami. So it was a bit of a thing to go out there because you had to knock on the door and talk to somebody you don't know, and you're a stranger coming up to their door. And in the big cities, at least here, that doesn't happen. You know, strangers don't come to my door because that's the way that we've been indoctrinated to do. So myself and somebody else, another neighbor, we'd knock on the door, and you would have this real hesitation. Sometimes they wouldn't even answer the door, and you knew where somebody was there. They won't answer the door for strangers. And it was one of the most unbelievably positive experiences that I had, because when we start talking, we say, I'm your neighbor. I live over there. We've got a problem with that place over there. And when they realized that you had walked into their environment in order to help, it was a totally different thing happened. I mean, all of a sudden these people were friends. I got that zoning thing. What is that about? You know, and then you just present the information as to what it's about. And where do I sign? Oh, well, listen, let me take you over to my neighbor. You know, my next door neighbor, my friend. And so going as a stranger to a stranger's house and giving them information that is important to them, they now became part of your effort to make a change. And they introduced us to other people. Well, to make a long story short, when all was said and done, the zoning commissioner went up to, I had a family thing. I wasn't even at that meeting. But they went up to Sandy, my next door neighbor, who was very, you know, she's the one that started talking to me. And they said, you guys aren't an organization. You're not, you don't have a community organization. No. Well, how did you present all this? Where'd you get these? We just went house to house. And they said, without a doubt, this is the best presentation we have ever had presented before us. And of course, that property never got developed. You know, so what I'm saying is that just because you're kind of, I'm the hermit. I don't leave my house. You know, I was way outside my comfort zone. But in taking that step to reach out to my neighbors and my neighbors reaching back to me, it just filled me with such hope and love and joy. And the knowledge that all we have to do is talk to each other. But again, they have worked hard to keep us so that we don't even leave our houses because we're afraid of leaving our houses. Well, I'm not afraid of leaving my house. I don't like to leave my house. But it's just an example of what can be done if we only try. So anybody out there that's hearing me, you know, we perhaps can't reach out to you and walk you through it step by step, but we're trying desperately to give you the forum, a means of learning and of communicating with those other people who know there's a problem and want to make a difference because they know there is a solution. You know, it was one thing when I would say, oh my God, Chicken Little, the sky's falling. You know, and now I can say, well, the sky's falling, but I got some glue. You know, I got some patch. We can fix it. And it's easier to talk to people when you say, there's a terrible bee problem, but we can fix it. You know, and all you have to do is be the person that understands the bee problem and understands how to fix it. And then to be motivated enough to at least go around to be your own chapter, you know, each and every one of you. And then when you find out that you've got somebody else that wants to participate with you, well, now you got two in your chapter. You know, you don't have to go out and try to solicit help. As you talk, as you motivate people to participate, they will, in my experience. Derek?
Sure. No, I agree. And that's, back at the forum. That's why we're going to, in addition, add additional video and interview. So that person who's going to start their own chapter, hopefully, or chapter leader ahead. And again, just do it on your own, please. I'd appreciate that. We'll make it such that you can just take your cell phone, get in the forum and play that video and just kind of shove the phone right in front of them. Make it that easy. So we'll do some of that as well. So you do have some information or something at your hands to hand out. And again, downloadable flyers are already available that you can print out to hand out. And then depending on, you know, how well the crowdfunding campaign happens, hopefully we'll have funds to provide nuggets and maybe powder to some of these chapter leaders to help start instigating the spread of Shungite. I do want to focus a lot in the forum to where, again, we can have it. So If you're just out there and you come across a person in the parking lot, did you leave in the store and you're talking about bees for whatever reason, well, you can have that quick link on your cell phone and just save your bookmark the either documents or some of the quick videos. And some will just be a couple minutes long, up to larger interviews over an hour long each, where it'll explain what we're doing and how we're doing it and how others can get involved. So we're going to try and make it easier and more accessible for others. And if anybody has feedback or input on additional ways where we can help share this or features for the forum that would help in spread the word for these chapter leaders, I'm always open to hearing that. So, and then we'll of course get email lists going as well. But again, it's just hopefully sharing the link to Shungite Beehives forum and getting people involved there. And then those people that are sharing the word, making it easily accessible for them to share videos and information to friends.
So that's a couple of things we're going to be doing here in the, well, in the next few days and weeks.
And for those people who don't have any money and don't have any time, just please, it's like praying, okay? But instead of focusing your energies on asking God or the angels for assistance, look into your own being, your own energy field, and put that out there. Say, okay, Derek and Nancy and all these beekeepers, they need help. And I'm going to envision them just in a very, very positive way. That the concept of shungite is going to spread. And remember, it's not just the physical shungite. We're manipulating energy. And we've manipulated it for the last almost five years. And what's happening is that there's a grid of shungite all around us. It's an energy field. It's like having we have what I call the collective consciousness. All of our thoughts go into this area like a big supercomputer. Okay? Someplace, I don't know where it's contained, but it's there. Well, the same thing is with the shungite. The more we feed the shungite weave, or the collective consciousness, so to speak, of shungite, the more powerful it becomes. And shungite is a gift from Gaia. Gaia is the creator consciousness of this biosphere we call Earth. Gaia herself is a creation of the source God. Whatever that source God is in your mind. And I mean, because when somebody says, well, my religion is the right religion, I think, okay, so you're limiting God. There's only one face of God. There's only one way that God is, instead of saying, well, that's one version of God. God is everything in every place. Why limit God by your perception of that's the way that my relationship is with the source field, the source God? You know, everybody as a God. That they, and when push comes to shove, you know, they scream out that name. Help me. Well, that particular energy force has many, many versions of itself. You're a version of the source field, of the source God. The same power of energies and manipulating your reality because you want to see positive things instead of giving up your right to having any dominion over anything, because you're locked into a non-thinking, just reacting instead of responding. Responding is when something happens and you sit back and you go, what just happened? And what does it mean? And what should I do? Whereas a reaction is, boom, and you react. You make it because you've been programmed to do that. If you can take over any part of being able to control your reality, it's because you have to think. Stop reacting. Start responding. And then you'll begin to realize that once you give up control to all that is, and you grasp the energy fields of all that is, then you are starting to balance yourself into the power field that we were meant to be. Co-creators of our own reality. We're getting close to the top of the hour, so cosmicreality.net for the Shungite store, and it's got a lot of information on it. We don't put as much information up there now because people honestly understand the EMF problems. We use the forum now. It's sort of like a part of cosmicreality.net, but it's the Shungite Beehive forum, so that people can learn about the bees, about what's happening, and help. For those people that really want to help, but like I say, you don't have the time, you might have the money to be able to put your energy into it so that we can use that money to be able to support the activities of the people that are out there on the ground. I would love to be able to give bags full of nuggets to people and say, go give them to your beehive people in your local area. But to do that, we need your help. So you'll be able to get direct links on the Cosmic Reality Net page. And anything else, Derek?
No, I just like to say for those, and I understand money's difficult in a lot of situations, so if money's an issue, even just sharing the link to the crowdfunding campaign, we appreciate that, because that's going to help spread the word as well. So, no, I'd like to encourage that and thank everybody for their support.
Awesome point. Awesome point. I thank you all for being here. Derek, I thank you for all you're doing, for everything. Talk about a gift from Gaia. You're it, Derek. you want to say goodnight or goodbye? Middle of the afternoon here.
Yep. Same here. No, thank you, everyone, for listening. And again, we appreciate your support with the bees and helping spread the Shungite word. Thank you.
Be blessed, and that's spelled B-E-E. We'll see you next time. And Walt and I will be on at 6 o'clock, and there's good radio in between. Appreciate y'all.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Haggishack Radio.